two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Election night. In total, there are 23 state primary races. And this is KSL News Radio special coverage of early results. Decision 2022 with hosts Jeff Kaplan and Scott Simpson on KSL News Radio.
8 o'clock has come and gone. The polls are closed across Utah, and we have our first results in hand. Mike Lee in the Senate race jumping out to a commanding lead over Becky Edwards and Ali Isom. Mike Lee with 80% of the vote. But there's an asterisk.
There is more to the story. Millard County is the only county that has reported at this point, so it's probably misleading.
We're talking about 3,200 votes in Millard County. The first results, though, that we've seen this evening.
Like I said in the earlier segment, it feels like Christmas, and for political geeks, you know, we've started to tear open the wrapping paper.
We're waiting for the big dump of votes from all over the state as the counties report in over the next half hour. And you had mentioned, Scott, that it's not like the traditional election night in the days of yore where you get the dribble of elections and you count the precincts. All that is out the window since mail-in voting began.
That's right. It used to trickle in sort of geographically, those precincts that were closer to the balloting center, and so you could predict outcomes based on the night. Today, because of by-mail election, we've got ballots that have already been processed. They're sort of agnostic as to geography, and so you get a really good snapshot when those big ballot dumps come right at the very beginning.
Well, the county clerk in Weber County, Ricky Hatch, just told us that 80% of their votes are already counted and ready to be released within the next 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, that's impressive all by itself, given the volume.
And the person who is in charge of this election is the lieutenant governor of the state of Utah.
She's the chief elections officer. Among others, I think she's the official keeper of the seal and lots of other things. But primary and huge responsibility, probably more than any other lieutenant governor in my experience, being under the microscope, is Deidre Henderson.
And the lieutenant governor joins us live on the KSL Newsline. Good evening, lieutenant governor. First question. Have there been any happy election day? Are there any irregularities that you've heard reported during the course of today?
Not today. We had a couple people experience a problem last week with the font size on one of the ballot to the election machines in one of the counties. But other than that, they were able to get their votes cast for the candidates of their choice. And other than that, we haven't heard of any significant problems that weren't able to be resolved right there with a poll worker in the polling location.
It appears to me, Governor, that you and your staff were in the chocks ready for that. You were on it like a rat on a Cheeto the second that tweet went out. and you had answers, very specific answers. Do you think that's calmed nerves? Has that quelled based on the answers that you were able to give to the public in specific response?
Yeah, I do. I think it did. And as soon as I was made aware of that Facebook post on Sunday morning, I reached out to the legislator. I had my election team on it immediately. Of course, we take any complaints or allegations very seriously. We investigate them. We want to make sure that everything is running as smoothly as possible for people and that people have confidence in that. So we were on that immediately. We immediately identified an issue that could potentially be there if someone's got a bigger finger or something, and pushes for one candidate, maybe it hits the the field for a different one. But then there's, of course, places where they can check that and make sure that before the ballot is actually cast, that their votes are correct. So, hopefully everybody feels confident in the process now and knows that we take everything very seriously. Now, that doesn't mean every allegation is serious. And just because there are accusations that come out, it doesn't mean that there was any evidence or anything to prove it. And so, we have to look into things and we do that. And we do it quickly as we can.
What changes in process for this evening has your office put in place for collecting and distributing returns tonight?
Well, we had an election bill, a pretty significant election reform bill that was passed this year. A lot of those measures have not technically been implemented officially. We're still making rules and things, but we have put out guidance to our county clerks to reflect those changes that will be taking effect for the general election. And so things like making sure that we have ubiquitous processes in place for chain of custody for ballots, for example. People are dropping their ballots off in ballot boxes throughout the state. And we always, election workers always, they send at least two people to get those. Nobody's ever alone with the ballots. But we made sure that we gave some guidance on what some of those processes should be, just to beef that up and to make sure that everybody is very, very clear, because we want people to know that, that their ballots aren't ever going to get in the hands of anyone who they shouldn't get in the hands of. And so that's one of the things. Another one was video cameras at the ballot boxes. Many of the counties were able to get those installed to kind of keep an eye on these drop boxes. We are going to be doing a more robust auditing process. So there are a lot of things that we're putting into place that to beef up our already very robust security measures that we have.
So far, can you confirm that there have been no mule sightings at those?
I've not seen any mules.
Okay, good.
So we were talking with Ricky Hatch from Weber County. He's the county clerk just before 8 o'clock. And we asked him about poll watchers, expecting there'd be just a deluge of people standing over the vote counters. And he said he's seen one poll watcher in the last 3 weeks. Are you hearing similar reports from other counties?
Well, we haven't heard of anybody going in large numbers. We have heard reports of some people wanting to go, and you know what? That's great. That's their rights, and we have systems and processes set up. What we won't do is change our processes to meet any arbitrary demands that might be given to our election workers and our county clerks. So that's what we won't do. But all of these processes that we do are done in public. The logic and accuracy tests for the machines, the audits, all of these are publicly noticed. The public is given notice for them. They can come in, they can watch, but most people just don't. And I encourage people to go ahead and do it, especially anybody who has concerns or is questioning or doesn't understand what our processes are. It's a really wonderful learning opportunity, and I encourage people to take advantage of that. But a lot of people, most people don't.
Governor, in the 30 seconds that we have left, Utah has sort of remained committed to the by-mail election process. Do you see any change to that in the future?
No, I don't. People love to vote by mail. There are a lot of people who also love to vote in person, and we will keep those options open for people who prefer to come in person or have problems or need to register to vote at the last minute. We'll keep those options open for people, but I don't foresee us getting rid of vote by mail.
Thanks so much, Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson, who is in charge of this primary election this evening. We thank you for joining us on KSL. We do have additional votes counted. Tell me if these numbers are significant now. Mike Lee with 60% of the vote, Becky Edwards 30, Ali Isom with 9%. We're talking about roughly 60,000 votes tally. Scott, are we getting to the point where it matters?
Well, 60%, yeah, I think that's starting to tell us the picture. I suspect we'll move a point or two one direction or the other.
Okay, so Senator Mike Lee with 60% of the vote, and our coverage will continue.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.